Reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You've heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'Do not take a false oath to make good to the Lord all that you vow.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, not by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. These readings in the last week or so have been really kind of fun for me to reflect on and preach about. It's a very interesting little short history of this early community, what it's going through, what are the problems it faces. Often it poses a series of things that need to be done in order to grow and grow in conformity with God's love. And then a kind of a worksheet, that's how I see it, reminding me about how I can do it and what needs to be done so that it's done correctly and completely. The word transparency today is everywhere. I mean, there's almost nothing that happens that is not examined for its transparency. It's become, at least in my experience, an incredible buzzword. And what Jesus is doing is laying out, here's what needs to be done, and here are some of the problems you're going to face. At this point, he turns to the Pharisees, and it's a real focus because for him, they were a pest, just kind of buzzing around and distracting people, trying to get them to move away from what's important. And so he reminds the people that they should not be in any way Pharisaical in their behavior. This idea of a vow. The Pharisees had a series of little buzzwords or little kinds of things that they said and did that seemed to give them a kind of a rank in the community. Jesus saw this, and you know, he said basically the influence of the Pharisees isn't going to work here, not with Jesus. He's got such a clear plan for his community, for where the church would move, for what its goals were, and for how it would became accountable to God, of course, but also accountable in terms of the history of this community. He sees these little buzzwords that they use as efforts to kind of throw the wool around the sheep, you know, not letting people realize what's going on, in order to distract or fool them. And so Jesus says that you need to be aware of the fact that these people are not in it for your good. He wanted to make sure that the idea of service, the idea of living in common, the idea of focusing our attention and giving ourselves over to God's love through Jesus was to be pretty much everything that we do. It takes us over. It changes us. And so Jesus is saying, don't get distracted by people who are going to give you alternatives. It's like these advertisers, and even worse at this day and age, at least in the United States, the politicians making all of their promises, distracting us from the reality of what has happened and what might happen, to tell us that there's really a better way and that they know that better way and that they're going to ask that we put our trust in them. Jesus is saying, no, you put your trust in me and I will lead you to the Father. But don't get distracted by what these people are saying to you. Don't get distracted by what they're trying to sell, in a sense. Even today, our false politicians are doing the same things. And what people are asking for is transparency. We want to see an honest expression of what God wants for us, and how Jesus teaches us, and he's looking for a sense of integrity, that what he says and does is a reflection of what the Father has told him. And we're brought together as a community. We're given to one another for care and growth. We expect God to be honest and, in a sense, maintain and display an integrity in our teaching. And then we need to speak and behave in the same way. We need to turn to people and ask them to pay attention to what we're saying when we are speaking about God, when we're teaching about God. And they can feel comfortable doing this. People can feel comfortable doing this because basically what we're showing is a kind of a transparency in our faith. We're telling people, here's what needs to be done. Here's what God proposes for us to do. And this is what happens if you fulfill these requirements. I've often preached about what I consider the three great aspects of our growing church, and that's the call, the plan, and the promise. In this situation, the call is clear. Come to God, come to the Father through me. I have provided you everything you need in order to get there. There's a sense of integrity about me. There's a sense of destiny. There's a sense of transparency. And then once we respond to this call, and of course we do that now through baptism, is then Jesus says, now here's how it works. Here's what you need to do. Here are the things you watch out for. You don't want to distract people with little things that simply get in the way to kind of blur their vision. What we need to do, rather, is to listen to what God wants and to see whether or not, with Jesus' teaching, we can bring ourselves into line with what the plan calls for. And so little by little, we're asked to care for one another, we're asked to forgive, we're asked to be peacemakers, all the other kind of virtues that have surfaced in the last few weeks in the readings. And then what Jesus teaches us as the kind of definitive posture of this community is that there should be an integrity and an honesty relating to what Jesus teaches us and to move to the Father through that teaching. And that whole package is wrapped up with this idea of transparency. Nothing's being hidden. Nothing is being disguised. None of these things should get in our way. This plan is absolutely clear and certain, and we need to make sure that we understand it, internalize it, and then share it with people. And that we do it with the same kind of integrity, the same kind of honesty as Jesus was asking of that early church. The promise is clear, and that is we'll find our way to the Father. And in that, there will be ultimate peace. There will be total satisfaction. I was speaking recently to a group of children, and I was talking about the difference between happy and satisfied. And what Jesus says is, through your satisfaction, through your relationship to the Word, you will in fact find happiness. And after all, at least I think that's what we're all moving toward. So that's what it's about today, at least I think so. So listen carefully, make sure that you don't get misled by distractions, and then affirm our faith in what we have been taught by Jesus, and then walk with Jesus to the Father, the call, the plan, and the promise.